This is the On the Line podcast.
And we're back to another episode of the On the Line podcast. Here again with Noah. How you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Excited to have not one but two guests on the show this week. They're friends of yours, so I'll let you do the intro. Who do we got on the show this week?
Two guests of mine, two longtime friends, Pat Giaquinto and Graham Jesperson. How you guys doing?
I'm great, Mark. How are you? I'm excited to be on, man.
Good, man. Good.
Good to be here.
Week two in the book. We're going to start and move on to week three now. Week two had some amazing games. Honestly, it was fantastic. I don't know about you guys. My friends, Pat and Graham, huge Giants fans. How'd it feel for the Giants to lose like that?
It's tough, man. Not much to say about it. Nothing really good came out of it.
Yeah, especially with the injury to Saquon. I mean, it's kind of hard to make up for that as well. So, I mean, we're going to have to rehash and kind of climb back from that and see what we can do.
That's a bad run game gone worse.
Oh, that's terrible. You guys, and think about it. Like, you bring in Devonta Freeman, he's not going to get cooking. And for like probably week five, guy hasn't seen full contact in football for like, I mean, he wasn't even on anyone's training camp. So
yeah, I mean, you never know.
Take a few weeks.
Anything could happen, but I don't know. Offensive line wise, not good. So
it could. Let's move on to some of the bigger matchups that happened this past week. Last Thursday, a week ago today, you had Bengals and Browns, and I was pleasantly surprised. I don't know about you guys. I was pleasantly surprised about the way Joe Burrow played. I think he outplayed Baker here. I took the Bengals to cover that game plus six. They only lost by 3 points, so it was a really good game there. Noah, we'll start off with you, man. What did you see? Is it concerning for the Browns that even though they won, Baker Mayfield did not look as good as Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I mean, he does not look like a first overall pick, let me tell you that. I mean, geez, look at the guys like Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. Those are all guys that have been drafted in the past few years that were either in the same or later classes than Baker and are just outperforming him week in and week out. I mean, his stat line wasn't that bad, 16 for 23, 220 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. I mean, this to me is a team that's going to have to run the ball and give Baker only high percentage looks. When you put the ball in Baker Mayfield's hands to let you win the game, it doesn't seem like that's the formula to win for the Cleveland Browns. When you put the ball in the hands of those two studs in the backfield, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, that's going to be how they're going to win games. I mean, you saw what Baker couldn't do through the air. He still struggles to make deep throws. He did connect with Odell Beckham on one touchdown, so that was good for Odell Beckham fantasy owners and just for Odell in general. He's not had good chemistry with Baker at all, so it's good to see him get going there. But like you said, Burrow looked better. He threw the ball 61 times. That's a record set by any rookie ever throwing
unreal.
The ball. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I think it tells more about Burrow that he's making something happen with a terrible Bengals team. Graham, I want to go to you now. Like I asked Noah, I mean, Baker did not look good there. What do you think comes to the Browns this week? I mean, the Browns are taking on Washington this week. I mean, do you still think that Baker, you know, is he in a must-win situation here? Or, you know, do you think he got a little bit of slack because he was able to win last week?
I mean, at least for me, my opinion, I think this game's going to come down to more him throwing the ball. Based off the last couple games with Washington, their defensive line's pretty good.
No joke.
Chase Young in there now, and running the ball on them might be tough, but they do have Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, both great running backs, and they've been able to run the ball well. So if they can get that run game going, I think they'll be all right. Baker through the air, I think he's pretty inconsistent. I mean, last week he didn't play bad, but wasn't fantastic. I mean, I think it's going to come down to him throwing the ball in the air this week.
Yep. I agree. I think that – I mean, the fact that he competed with Joe Burrow, and if you just look at the talent on paper of those two teams, it's so lopsided to the Browns, it's not even funny. Like, it's ridiculous what Burrow's able to do with such a down roster compared to Baker. But Let's move on to another huge game that happened over the week. The Rams and the Eagles. And Pat, I want to start with you here, dude. Eagles look like garbage. They are a shell of what they were a few years ago. You know, what does this say about the Eagles? And more importantly, what do you think about the Rams and how they look this season?
The Eagles, I mean, the Eagles, I think them having such a lackluster line and having a bunch of injuries, I don't think it really helps them. And as a result, I think it kind of like acts like a chain. You know, I think it trickles down to Carson Wentz, and then Carson Wentz can't really throw the ball to his receivers. And I mean, having Jalen Reagor out, you know, he's now placed on IR. I mean, I don't think that's that great for them either. I think they're going to have an uphill battle. I mean, I think starting off 0-2 is not necessarily great for them. And in terms of the Rams, I think the Rams are actually exceeding expectations. I think they actually look, in my opinion, they actually look pretty great. They have a pretty dangerous passing game. If Jared Goff can connect with his receivers, and I mean, in terms of the running backs, I mean, you know, Cam Akers getting hurt, and then who they obviously spent a large capital on, and then Malcolm Brown getting hurt as well. I think that pretty much hurts them a little bit, but I think they're still plugging and chugging a little bit.
Yeah, and you know what? I heard you say that it might be a little bit on Wentz here. Is Wentz, in your opinion, a top 10 quarterback in the league?
That's a tough question. I mean, I think he is. I think Wentz is a good quarterback. I respect Wentz a lot. And I just think if you put anybody behind that line, I mean, I think it'll change. It's like it's the same question as if you move Dak out of that line, is he going to be a top quarterback as well? And I don't think so, you know?
No.
I think it's like kind of what you give them, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I love that take. Graham, I'll go to you here. Carson Wentz, top 10 or no?
Oh, this is a killer question for me.
I know.
I probably would put him top 10, but probably towards the back half of that top 10. Yeah. I'm not crazy about him, but I definitely respect him. He's a good player. Just can't seem to stay healthy. And what we've seen this year so far, not a top 10 quarterback performance so far, but like it's only 2 weeks in. So hard to say.
That's true. And you know what else I find interesting is what Pat said about nobody really expected the Rams to be that team this year. And, you know, it's kind of like Noah and I had this conversation earlier in the week where every single year there's a team that makes the playoffs that, like, before the season, no one thought that they were going to be good. No one thought that they were going to make the playoffs. Like, for example, last year was probably the Titans. The year before that, it was when the Bears won the NFC North. And the year before that, it was probably when the Raiders and then, you know, Derek Carr got hurt. They all got hurt. I mean, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, no one thought the Eagles were going to be that good that year. I think this year could be the Rams. I mean, the Rams put up an amazing game against the Eagles. Granted, you know, that defensive line is good and the Eagles' offensive line is crap. But, I mean, you look at the Rams, they're cooking, and I love them against in their matchup against the Bills this weekend. So I think that'll be a good game. But I like the way the Rams played the Eagles. But this next game comes close to Noah and I. Noah and I were very hard-pitted against each other for this one. Falcons-Cowboys. Cowboys won 40-39 on an improbable, just absolutely ridiculous onside kick that the Atlanta Falcons just – no one knows what was going through their head. Are the Cowboys for real, Noah? I'm going to ask you that because I support the Falcons every single week, and they break my heart every single week. Are the Cowboys for real, or did the Falcons just collapse?
I think the Cowboys are for real. If you look at their offense, like I said before the season, Dak Prescott, everyone was a little sort of skeptical of him coming in. They thought last season was a fluke because he ended up near the top of the passing yards leaders last year. I think he was only second to Jameis Winston, if I'm not mistaken. But look, Dak Prescott can throw the ball, and he's been given weapons to do so. Amari Cooper, I believe, came over last season, looks fantastic. As he normally does. He's been a stud receiver since he came into the league with Oakland. And now they have CeeDee Lamb there too, and Michael Gallup's no joke there. I mean, they have three stud wideouts there that are probably near the top five, definitely top 10 of wide receiver corps in the league. So he has plenty of weapons there, and we know Ezekiel Elliott. His name speaks for himself. Look, it's kind of the same team, in my opinion, Atlanta in Dallas, Dallas was able to just edge them out here. I think this was more Atlanta's game to lose than Dallas's to win. They just completely boofed it. Even Arthur Blank was quoted saying that they completely misread that onside kick play. They did not understand the rules of what they could do. They were allowed to actually initiate contact with players. They just couldn't touch the ball or pick it up before it crossed across 10 yards. So that was kind of embarrassing that they had no idea how to actually approach it once the ball was kicked. So
absolutely,
they were, I believe, 3 scores down at one point. The Falcons had a monstrous lead over the Cowboys, and they just let them creep back in. I mean, it's just atrocious that they start out every year so poorly.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd agree with you. I think it just came down to coaching at that point, and the players had no idea whether they could touch it, and that kind of reflects on the coaching explaining the rules, or maybe the players should know the rules. I don't know. But somebody messed up, and it's somebody's fault that that happened. But the Cowboys should not have even been close in that game, honestly. The Falcons played way better. Graham, we just talked about the Eagles. We're talking about the Cowboys. Now, which one do you think is going to win the NFC East? I mean, it's only week two. If you had to pick one now, which one looks better?
I'm taking the Cowboys easily.
For sure.
I don't think the Eagles really come back from any, not from where they are now to the end of the season. I think they'll definitely get better. Offensively, Cowboys team's just way better offensively. Defensively, it's kind of tough to say. Letting up, well, they let up 39 points to the
ridiculous
Falcons. Yeah, I mean, even though they won, just that comes down to their offense. They put up a ton of points, and that fourth quarter putting up however many points they did to come back and win is just crazy. I think I really take the Cowboys over the Eagles.
Yeah, I agree. For those who don't remember or didn't tune in a few weeks ago, Noah picked the Eagles to win the NFC East. Just putting that out there. And I picked the Cowboys, but it's not over. It's only week two. So
listen, what happens. If you wanted to bring up how many predictions you've got wrong, we'll just wait for the NBA and the NHL coming up for the end of the show. That's all I got
to
say.
We might run out of time. We may not be able to do that, but I mean, there was a couple other games this week. Noah in our Pick'em league, Graham's in it. Noah picked almost every single game right this week. Except for which one did you miss? Monday night. Improbable. That is improbable to think that the Vegas Raiders would beat the Saints, but they did. Let's talk about that game right now. The Saints look dead in the water, in my opinion. Without Michael Thomas, that offense has no spark. It's Alvin Kamara running it down their throats, but it's not enough because the Raiders and Derek Carr looked like the better QB that night. I mean, Drew Brees did not look good at all. Pat, what do you think the Saints need to do to get back on track? And can they still win the NFC South without Drew Brees?
I was going to say, I mean, I don't think Drew Brees – I mean, Drew Brees is having a rough start to the season. I mean, I don't think he looks like the same quarterback that he was in years past. I mean, and he has pretty much all the same weapons minus Michael Thomas. I mean, Michael Thomas, I think – in terms of an injury timeline, he could be back pretty soon. I mean, I wouldn't risk it. I would kind of hold out and kind of utilize the weapons you have right now. If you look at previous, I guess, like players, you could say, like you saw Saquon. Saquon came back in a few weeks after a high ankle sprain. And, I mean, he came out and said late at the end of the year that, you know, he wasn't even playing 100% the entire season. So to that end, I think you should honestly – they should let Michael Thomas like hold out a little bit, you know, get him healthy, utilize your offense, and honestly, maybe even use Davis Murray and Alvin Kamara at the same time, you know, because Latavius Murray is a bigger guy, and Alvin Kamara obviously has receiving skills. And then, do I think they can win the NFC South? I honestly, after watching them play against the Raiders, I was a little low on Tampa Bay after watching the first game, but now that I think about it, you know, as they start to click, you know, Fournette starts getting a little bit more involved, and they start using him and Rojo in like kind of like a dual system, I kind of think Tampa Bay might one up them, even though they the Saints beat them week one.
Yeah, and you know what, Noah said Tampa Bay would win that division as well. Graham, who do you like that division?
Right now, it's hard to tell. I mean, Saints with Michael Thomas, I don't think they lose many games. Especially going back to week one, we watched them play against the Bucs, beat the Bucs, that all-star team they put together. I really don't know who I'm going to pick. Right now, I'd probably take the Bucs, just because who knows how Michael Thomas is going to be when he gets back. Who knows how Drew Brees is going to play, because right now he's not looking too great. It's kind of a toss-up for me.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm still going to ride with the Falcons. Look, that offense can wheel and deal. They're never going to win a Super Bowl like this because they just can't finish games, and we saw that in the Super Bowl as well. It's just sad to see. Noah, are you still confident about the Bucs pick?
It's looking a lot better right now. I mean, I think this is truly centered about what Drew Brees can do and what his skill set is now, because this is not the Drew Brees of 5 years ago that was slinging it for 5,000 yards and 30-plus touchdowns in a single season. His yardage totals have regressed by at least a couple hundred passing yards every single season since 2016. That was the last time he threw for over 5,000 yards. Look, and what he's on pace to average, you know, in the 200 to 250 yards per game range right now, three touchdowns and a pick. I mean, these aren't stud numbers from Drew Brees. Is it bad that Michael Thomas is out? They're absolutely missing him. I mean, he's the NFL target leader from last year. And like Graham said, when he's on the field, it gives them a chance to win every single week. But I don't think it's on Michael Thomas's skill set and his talent, and it's not on Kamara either. They're two talented guys. It really just comes down to what Drew Brees can do. And right now, Brady looks much better than Brees. Brees cannot get the ball down the field. They gave him Emmanuel Sanders in the offseason, who was slated to be a deep threat, and he and Brees aren't going to be able to get anything going if Brees can't complete it and throw it more than 20 yards down the field. So I'm looking that Bucs pick is looking pretty solid right now. It's going to be tough to bet against Tom Brady, especially when Drew Brees isn't at the top of his game.
I agree. Quickly, before we get into our fantasy, you know, review and then a week ahead, let's talk about that Patriots-Seahawks game that came down to the last play on the one-yard line. I'll tell you what, Seattle's defense looks like one of the worst defensive units I've seen this year. I mean, they look really bad. And, I mean, there's teams like the Jets out there who have bad defense. But, look, Seattle looks terrible. Adding Jamal Adams, imagine if they didn't have Jamal Adams, they would be even worse on defense. And it's just they can't stop anyone. So, that's concerning for me with Seattle. Russell Wilson still wheels and deals. It's hard pressed to say that he's not the best QB in the league right now. And I mean, Cam Newton looked good in that game. He had a good stat line. Decision on the 1 yard line. Noah, let's go to you. End of that game, Cam Newton, 1 yard line. I don't know about you, but I was thinking that it was going to be a QB sneak. Did the Pats make the right call there?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you and I talked about this off air. He is the best player on the field for them. Their MO seems to be get the ball in Cam Newton's hands as much as possible and let him make plays like he used to back in his MVP days. I mean, I would give it to Cam Newton, 6'5", 250, 60 pounds, whatever it is. I mean, that's the only problem with that play call, especially on the goal line, is everyone's looking at that big man right there. They were going to run it regardless, whether it was with Rex Burkhead or Cam Newton. So I think they put it in their most talented player's hands. They weren't going to throw it. Cam Newton's not necessarily the most accurate passer, especially in the red zone. So I think it was a good call. They were just banking on letting their offensive line create some space for him. Seahawks D-line was able to come up with a big stop there. So it just really came down to who played that down better.
Graham, AFC East looks like it's up for grabs. The Bills, even though they're 2-0, played the Dolphins and the Jets, and they only beat the Dolphins by 3 points. Do you like the Patriots here, or are you still rolling with the Bills? I'm not even going to ask about the Jets and Dolphins because I don't think they have a chance. Definitely not the Jets. The Jets might have the first pick in next year's draft. They're that bad. But, I mean, Pats, Bills, which one do you like here?
It's hard to say. I mean, Bills going up against the Dolphins last week, pretty close game, surprisingly. But the Bills were missing two key components on their defense. So that definitely hurts. Patriots look pretty good. They got a good defense. I think they just need another weapon at receiver. I think that would help them big time. Julian Edelman, get him someone else on the other side or whatever it may be. But I'm going to roll with the Patriots. I think the Bills are definitely good, but I don't know. Cam Newton's tough to stop.
Damn.
I don't know. I think it's a toss-up as well, but I like the Patriots.
The Patriots. I still think the Pats are an 8-win team max. I just don't see them being that dynamic. I don't see them being that special. Granted, that RPO is unreal. I mean, because you think, who's going to run it? Their running backs are decent, Rex Burkhead and Michelle, but, I mean, Cam can run it. And then they run the slant route with Edelman, and he's open every single time. But I just don't think that. I think the Bills are more, even though I don't trust Josh Allen at all, I just think that team as a whole is a little bit better. But then again, the Pats have Bill Belichick. I don't know.
I was going to say, I personally like the Pats. I mean, I do think the Bills are going to pull through. I think Josh Allen's arm combined with Stephon Diggs' deep threat, I mean, that's kind of scary. But I don't know. Cam Newton looks really good. And you combine a versatile playmaker like that on offense and a Bill Belichick mindset. I don't know, dude. I think I could, you know, the Patriot way. I mean, they could take it away from them. I don't know.
They might be able to, but
I'm gonna interrupt you real quick. I also think as the weeks go on, I think Cam Newton becomes a better passer. He was hurt. Hasn't
better than Josh Allen.
That's the thing. Josh Allen's kind of inconsistent. Definitely looks a lot better this year, I would say, now that he has Stephon Diggs. But having Cam being able to throw the ball, I think as the weeks go on, I think that's going to help them tremendously. And then add on his ability to move outside the pocket, run downfield, all that good stuff.
Yeah. And Noah, I just want to go to you real quick. What are your feelings on Josh Allen? Do you like him as a QB?
You know what, man? I've ripped him to shreds on past shows. I'll die on that hill that Josh Allen is a bottom 10, bottom 12 QB in this league. You're not going to hear me praise him until I get a full season with him passing above 16% completion. He has played arguably two of the worst teams in the NFL in the Dolphins and the Jets. So, and he gets to play them twice a year. Jets look like the absolute worst team, so it's essentially a throwaway game for him. So when he goes up against some real defenses and puts on a show, then you'll hear me give him some praise. He's trending upwards. It's making me a little nervous about saying that he's an awful QB, but trust me, when Josh Allen is put in situations of pressure, he's gonna cave. Book it, Mark.
Yeah. I like that. And he will be put to the test this week against the Rams. They have a very good defense. You know, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, you're going up against a really, really good defense there. So, you know, I think it'll be a big test for Josh Allen and the Bills. But let's move on to the next segment. Studs and duds for waiver wire. I mean, excuse me, for fantasy last week, week two. Noah, we'll start with you. Give us a stud or dud that happened last week.
There's a bunch to choose from last week's matchups. It's tough. I'm going to go here with a guy that we already talked about a little bit, but Alvin Kamara, obviously. He's eaten up a lot of those targets, being that Michael Thomas is out, so he's going to benefit from that forever, or for how long Michael Thomas is injured. He had 13 rushes for 79 yards and 2 touchdowns just rushing, which is good for him because he's normally getting a lot more of those touchdowns in the pass game. But check out these passing stats. I mean, 9 receptions for almost 100 yards, 95 yards. In half PPR, the leagues that we're playing in, Mark, he got 34 points. So full PPR, I'm sure he cracks that 40 number still. I mean, he's going to be a stud here. It's going to be hard to find a running back better in fantasy over these next couple of weeks, at least until Michael Thomas gets back.
Graham, let's move to you. Give us a stud or dud from last week.
Oh, if you want to talk about a stud from last week, let's go to Aaron Jones from the Packers.
Jesus.
Dude had 18 attempts for 168 yards, 2 touchdowns. He averaged 9.3 per attempts, and he was targeted 8 times, had 4 receptions for 50 yards. Had 4 attempts, 4 receptions for 68 yards and a touchdown. He dude went off. There's nothing else to say about
points.
It.
He put 40 plus points up last week. That's absurd.
Dude went off.
That is a great pick. I didn't even have that written down. That is a fantastic pick. Pat, let's go to you. Give us a stud or dud.
I'm going with someone we just talked about, actually. Cam Newton, man. Cam Newton had 44 attempts, 30 completions, almost 400 yards passing. He had 397. And then just a single touchdown. And then how many rushing touchdowns did he have?
I think he
had at least one, correct?
Yeah, I think he had at least one, correct.
He had two rushing touchdowns.
For having the injury that he had, he looks legit, man. Especially in the new system, he looks awesome. It's kind of exciting. I'm not gonna lie.
Pat, how many yards did you say he threw for?
He threw for 397.
I think he gets better as the weeks go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in my league I play in, he had 34.58 points. I mean, it's even crazy for any player. I mean, that's insane.
That's crazy. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go with a dud that happened last week. Julio Jones. He only had two catches for 24 yards.
It's a good pick. I had that one written down.
I mean, Julio had like nothing. Like if you owned Julio, that's upsetting. Cause you're expecting, I mean, Julio, the thing with Julio is he doesn't score the touchdowns.
You're preaching to the choir here, Mark. I had him. It hurt.
Guy puts up yards like crazy. So, I mean, he was a big dud from last week. Let's go around. We'll go in reverse order. Let's go to Graham. Will everyone give out another stutter dud for this week?
I had a dud. Mark Andrews did not really come out to play last week. Let me see what he had.
He had one catch, 29 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times he was targeted. I don't think he was targeted too many times, but I expected better out of him weekly because he's been – normally he's pretty good. I mean, he was targeted three times. I mean,
when you think about it, like Mark Andrews week one had five catches, 58 yards, and two touchdowns.
Right.
So like you're like this guy is turning into another great tight end, kind of like Darren Waller. He's turning into an amazing fantasy tight end.
Especially like red zone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like always in the red zone, he should be open. And I don't know, maybe Lamar Jackson just couldn't get in the ball. I mean, it happens. I mean, granted, these players aren't going to go off every week. They're not going to have stellar performances every week. Everyone's going to have a bad week. Exactly. I think it's just a bad week for him.
Definitely. He was a dud last week. Pat, we'll go to you. Give us another one.
Yeah, so I'll give you another stud. I mean, this is coming straight off my fantasy team again. I mean, might be a little biased, but he had a great week. Stephon Diggs, I mean, you look at that Buffalo offense, and I mean, dude, he is eating up the targets. He had 13 targets for 8 receptions, 153 yards, and a touchdown. So, I mean, he had 25.3 points, and I play in half PPR. I mean, but he looked the part, man. He's great.
He looked like a beast.
He looks like that deep threat that Josh Allen.
Exactly. I agree. And just to go over, you know, from last week, if we go over a little bit, Noah and I gave out some big waiver wire pickups and how they fared this week. Some ones we hit on, Noah said Dak Prescott. He had a big week last week. You go with Alvin Kamara. He had a huge week last week. I said Stephon Diggs would have a big week last week. Guy went off. And then some big waiver wire ads. Jordan Reed had an unreal week, put up 20 points in the place of George Kittle. So he had a good week. So we had some pretty good picks last week. You know, let's hope to keep it rolling and keep good waiver wire targets adding up. But no, let's go to you. Give us another stud or dud from last week.
I'm going to switch it up here, go with a dud. I was going to roast a guy on my fantasy team, but I found a dud at the last minute. Naheem Hines. The dude had one catch for 4 yards. That's it. That's the stat line. And which is a huge downgrade from the big week he had last week against Jacksonville, where he had 2 touchdowns, 8 catches for 45 yards and a TD, and he added about 30 rushing yards on the ground as well. So is it Jonathan Taylor's backfield? I mean, the dude literally only had one catch, so it looks to be that way now that Marlon Mack's out of the picture. If you're a Naheem Hines owner, you should be concerned for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I had him and Julio on the same team.
Jeez. Unfortunate. That is really unfortunate.
It happens.
But let's move on. I mean, I'm going to give us the last stud or dud, and I'm going to go with a stud here that was probably a waiver wire target last week. It probably still is this week. Jonnu Smith for the Tennessee Titans went off. 4 catches, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's the number one ranked fantasy tight end right now. I mean, if you're a George Kittle owner, and Kittle may not play this week. He might play this week. But if you need a good waiver wire tight end to pick up, Jonnu Smith, why not? He looks really good. Anybody have any other picks that they really want to say?
I mean, for me, there's one guy who's growing on me. Wasn't really the biggest fan of him last year, but this year I think he's definitely someone I'm liking to watch, and he's exciting. It's Kyler Murray. I think he's been playing pretty well. Hard to stop him. Just got to stop throwing some interceptions. I got one in each two weeks so far. So if he cuts that out, I think he's going to be a really special player.
Beast. I love it. Kyler Murray is absolutely unbelievable. But, okay, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and we'll give you waiver wire pickups for next week. We're going to go over our game predictions for next week, and then we're going to do NHL, NBA news. We're going to catch up Stanley Cup Finals and the Eastern and Western Conferences. Lakers are playing right now. Score check real quick. Dolphins, Jags, 21-7 Dolphins. Second half is first half's about to end. We'll be right back. Back to the second half of the show, joined again by Noah and two of my longtime friends from home, Patchy, Quinto, and Graham. If you guys missed the first half of the show, we talked about recap of last week, studs and duds. Now we're going to go over waiver wire pickups for this week, and we're going to do game decisions. Or game picks, excuse me. So, I mean, let's get it going. We're going to call this section Down to the Wire, our waiver wire pickups now. Noah, let's start with you, man. Waiver wire pickups that you like for this week. Who are you going with?
Yeah, I'll just start it off with one here. This guy, he's only rostered in 3% of leagues right now, but what's going on with the running back situation in New England with James White being out? I'd add Rex Burkhead. I mean, we've seen him flashes of good production when that backfield's a little scarce, and Sony Michel is one of the shakiest running backs in fantasy. You definitely don't want to rely on him to catch passes. So if you're in a PPR league, definitely look to add Rex Burkhead. He's only, like I said, rostered in 4% of leagues. So if you're really scarce on running back depth and you just want to add a guy that might give you some good flex value if you're in a real deep league or something like that, Rex Burkhead would be a good target this week.
Graham, who you got?
Coming off of last week, I like Drew Sample, tight end for Cincinnati, now that their starter's gone. I'm drawing a blank on his name.
DJ Obama.
Yeah, now that he's hurt, I like Drew Sample. When he went in last week, he had 9 targets, caught 7 of them for 78 yards, or for 45 yards, I'm sorry. No touchdowns. Targeted in the red zone a few times. I mean, I think he's going to be a good target for Joe Burrow. And damn, he's only owned in 1.7% of leagues on NFL.com.
I like that. I like that a lot. Pat, let's go to you. Waiver wire pickups for this week.
I mean, so I'm looking at it right here. I mean, I know he's available in 63. He's rostered in 63% of the leagues in Yahoo. And I think Graham said in terms of NFL, he's 35%. But Joshua Kelly, I mean, so Austin Ekeler is getting a large bulk of the carries. I mean, you can argue, you know, They played Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati's all right, and then Kansas City is a great team, right? And against Kansas City, the guy had 23 carries. In fantasy, volume is everything, especially for running backs. So the fact that the man is getting 23 carries in a backfield that has Austin Ekeler, I think the guy is just like a ticking time bomb waiting to put up some points.
Yeah, I like that. And also something that was pretty interesting to me, two of the best teams two teams with the best tight end tandems in Tampa and Cleveland, both their tight ends, I'd stay away. And I think people are realizing Gronk's not the guy. OJ Howard's not consistent. And then when you look at the Browns, you look at Austin Hooper and David Njoku, you stay away from those guys. So I just think I find that interesting. But for my waiver wire pickup, I'm going 49ers backfield, Jerick McKinnon. Jerick McKinnon's taken over. Tevin Coleman's done for a few weeks. Raheem Mostert's out. So they're down to McKinnon. And, I mean, on a 3rd and 31, he was able to get a first down against the Jets. He's pretty fast. But if he's not swept up already in your league, I'd go and try and get him, especially at that running back position where, you know, it's kind of scarce now. A lot of injuries between Saquon and CMC. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, people are going to really need depth of running back. So I'd look at Jerick McKinnon. But those are some good waiver wire pickups there. Let's go to any like must starts or any other additions you guys think we need. We'll go in reverse here. Graham, we'll start with you. Any must starts this week? Good matchups that you like in fantasy?
I'm gonna go with Kyler Murray again. I mean, playing a Detroit secondary, it's banged up, not great. Just a not good Detroit team. I think he's gonna throw all over them now, especially he's got D-Hop now. I mean, that's big for him. I think he's gonna throw all over him. I think he's gonna run all over him. I don't really see them stopping him. So I think I'm gonna go with Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I like Kyler Murray's. He could have a beast day against Detroit.
I agree.
Pat, who you got here?
Mark, I'm going to hit close to home for you. I mean, after a lot of question marks coming off of an ankle injury, you look at James Conner against Houston. I kind of like the matchup. I'm not going to lie. Especially, I mean, even against a pretty decent Denver D, I mean, he had 16 carries for 106 yards and a touchdown. I mean, you look at how David Johnson did against that Houston D the first week. And, I mean, he had success. So, I mean, I think you put a guy like James Conner back there, I think he might have a day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as high on James Conner this year, but he could have a big day against the Texans defense that has proven to be just like Swiss cheese. Noah, what's your must start for this week?
Yeah, man, I mean, there are a bunch of guys out there. I'm going to go with a guy that it's a little less obvious, and it's a guy that I'm banking on to bounce back, especially because he's on my fantasy team. But Allen Robinson, the guy is getting – he's averaging, I believe, 8 targets to 9 targets a game from Mitch Trubisky. The production just hasn't been there. But he's going up against an Atlanta secondary that has been absolutely torched not only by Seattle but Dallas as well. So if the Chicago wants to win, they're throwing the ball. That Falcons secondary, in my opinion, is the worst in the league. So this is a guy to bounce back, Allen Robinson. Definitely banking on him to bounce back this week.
Interesting. You love Allen Robinson. Yeah, that's your guy right there.
The volume's there, man. The volume's there.
It is, and playing against that Falcons secondary, that's actually not a bad pick. For me, I'm going to start with an interesting stat here. You look at PFF put out the most pressures allowed through week 2 on QBs. It goes Texans, Giants, Bengals, Broncos, Chiefs. What's common about two of those teams, the Giants and the Broncos? They both played Pittsburgh and allowed that kind of pressure. The number one team that allows that pressure is the Texans, and Pittsburgh plays them this weekend. I think Pittsburgh's defense is going to be my pick here. If you have Pittsburgh's defense, bank on at least 10 points. They're going to go off this weekend. They're going to get a bunch of sacks. Deshaun Watson is not going to have anywhere to go. And, I mean, that defense is going to lock down. But I'll give a more enticing pick for the week. And you know what? I really like Amari Cooper this week going up against Seattle. That defense, like I said in the beginning of the show, Swiss cheese. So, you know, I don't think there's anyone on that in that secondary besides Jamal Adams who can really hang with Amari Cooper. And when you talk about Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb also being there, they can't cover all of them. So I think Amari Cooper, look for him to get a lot of targets this week. I mean, I like all your guys' picks. Anybody want to add anything else?
I'm going to actually give go on the flip side. If everyone wants to do a drop, a guy that you don't want to have on your roster anymore, Mark, I'm going to go for a guy on your roster that you'd had, Benny Snell. Benny Snell benefited greatly from James Conner being injured. But once Conner came back, Benny Snell was not the guy at all. I believe he only got a handful of carries and he got less than 2 fantasy points in all formats. So listen, if Conner's healthy, this dude is not going to get any carries, and I would not roster Benny Snell just as a handcuff to James Conner. There are going to be other guys out there that you would want to have on your team to help you week to week. So I would definitely drop Benny Snell if you have him rostered right now.
I don't even want to hear his name. I started him in 2 leagues, and he got negative points in both of those leagues. That was crap. Whoever leaked the news story that James Conner and Benny Snell were going to share snaps that week should get fired, because Benny Snell got like two snaps and he fumbled one of them. It was horrific. I'm getting worked up over this because he screwed my fantasy team. But anyway, that's besides the point. Graham, what drop do you have for this week?
I don't know if I consider it a drop, but definitely a dud. It's just someone I kind of just came upon just now, just looking through fantasy points and whatnot. But Tariq Cohen hasn't really done anything. I mean, great. I wouldn't recommend dropping him, just because, I mean, he gets in a lot, does what he needs to do, but he hasn't produced. And with Devin Singletary, I don't know. I expect better out of him.
Yeah. You know what? I don't really like Tariq Cohen. Not really a fan. David Montgomery there is just.
That's
really
what I meant. I said Devin Singletary. I meant David Montgomery.
Dude, Devin Singletary, all in the same. I don't even like him in Buffalo.
I know, he's not doing much either.
If he was on my team, I would trade him, because I don't really like Devin Singletary, but that's besides the point. Pat, going to you, man. Anybody that you think would be a good drop from your team?
Absolutely. So I'm personally an owner of Cam Akers, but I mean, I do feel highly about Cam Akers. However, going opposite of that, Malcolm Brown. Malcolm Brown was a guy that people were reaching for in the waiver wires. People were taking them with one or two, number one or two waiver a week ago. And, you know, I mean, he came out and Darrell Henderson looked so much better than him. And it doesn't help Malcolm Brown's case, the fact that he broke his one of his fingers. So, and he's playing with that finger broken this week. So, in my opinion, I don't think he's worth it. I mean, that is a running back by committee. Do I think Cam Akers might have the leg up if he's healthy? Probably, because I don't think a team would waste the draft capital in the second round on a guy if they didn't believe in him, you know. Right. And I think Darrell Henderson is right after that. And then I think Malcolm Brown is almost an afterthought.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to go here with someone I mentioned earlier, Rob Gronkowski. I mean, Arians came out yesterday and said that Gronk is basically a blocker, and he doesn't expect Gronk to be putting up like 40-yard plays every week anymore. So when your own coach doesn't have faith in you, I definitely would drop him in fantasy. I would not keep him on your team. So, you know, Gronk is going to be my drop there. But let's move on to the week's pick-ems here. And Noah, since you did so well last week, you lead us through this. Pick'ems, you take it away, Noah.
Yeah, I won the grand prize. Thank you for giving me such an honor to lead us through here. Normally, you're the one carrying the way. But yeah, we'll get into it. I'm going to skip over Dolphins-Jags because that game is actually live as we're recording. Dolphins up 21-7 at halftime, which is a huge shocker. Most people probably had the Jags in that game. But let's just run it through, starting off with the Giants and the 49ers. This one, we'll keep it short and sweet. The 49ers are banged up, and obviously the Giants are as well. I feel like this is going to be a run-first game, especially if Nick Mullins is going to start in place of injured Jimmy Garoppolo. 49ers are definitely going to try to run the ball with whatever backs they have left in their backfield. And the Giants, they'll probably pass a little more. They're going to let Daniel Jones try to win them the game because he's the better quarterback over Nick Mullins. Mark, what do you think? Upset alert for the Giants here?
Hell yeah. Let's go G-men this week. I love the Giants in this matchup. Get a little momentum going here. Why not? Giants match up great with the 49ers now that the 49ers' two best defensive linemen are gone. Kittle may not play. Obviously, their quarterback's not going to play. And, yeah, they're missing their top two running backs. I'll take the Giants here. The only person they're missing is Saquon, which when I say the only person, he's by far the best player on that team. But I still think Daniel Jones and those weapons could get it done against the 49ers. So I'm going to go Giants here. I love the upset.
I'm taking Giants too. I mean, you look at the fact that, you know, the 49ers D is almost decimated, dude. Richard Sherman's on IR, you know, Nick Bosa is on IR. And I think that sets it up perfectly for Darius Slayton to have a great day and Daniel Jones to have a great day, and hopefully Evan Engram to have a great day as well.
They even got D Ford's hurt too. I don't think he's gonna play.
So no, he's not gonna play.
Yeah, that Graham, definitely hurts them too.
Graham, you running with the Giants?
Well, yeah, I always pick my Giants. I gotta pick them every time.
Let's go. I mean, I love the Giants this week. Noah, did you pick the 49ers?
Haven't really made a decision yet. I'm leaning towards the Giants, though. I mean, that 49ers team is banged up on both sides of the football. And I trust Daniel Jones, especially at home. They don't have to travel. 49ers going from West Coast to East Coast, going to be tired. I'm going to lean with the Giants here. I think we got a clean sweep on the pod from the New York Giants. So underdog, upset alert. But we'll move on here. Washington football team. Didn't want to say the Redskins there. Football team versus the Cleveland Browns. I'm leaning towards the Browns in this one. Obviously, Washington's pass rush and their defense in general has surprised, and they're proving to be a very formidable group. They're going to give a lot of teams trouble from here on out. And if Haskins can perform, I think they're going to keep this game tight. But I trust in the Browns to build off the momentum from that last win against Cincinnati, whose offense is underrated, especially Joe Burrow. But Graham, I'll go to you here first. We were talking about Baker Mayfield earlier. Do you think Baker Mayfield can lead the Browns here to victory against Washington?
I think he can. I mean, I've never been big on Washington. Looking at some statistics, Browns got are getting 370 yards per game. But the Washington football team, their strength of schedule is a bit harder. So that always plays into it a little bit. The Browns are letting up 34 points per game, but and scoring 20.5. So, I mean, it's going to be close. It's going to be interesting. But I think Baker Mayfield has some confidence in him now. I think he can get the job done.
I like that a lot. Pat, what do you have to say? Got the Browns or you got the football team?
You know, I'm kind of torn on this one, but I think ultimately it's going to be the Browns. However, I want to say that I can see an upset with Washington winning, because I would definitely say that the Browns are definitely probably the favorites to win this game. But, I mean, if you look at Washington's defensive line and defensive end specifically, I think if they are on that day, I think the Washington Redskins can win. But ultimately, I'm going to go with Cleveland just because of the fact that they have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And, I mean, those two are scary when they are on a roll.
Absolutely.
I mean, sorry to cut you off, Noah. Pat, I'm going to agree with you here 100%. I like the Browns to win, but Washington could upset. I'm going to go Browns to win, but Vegas is giving you 7.5 points. They're giving Washington. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take 7.5. I think it's going to be closer than people think, just because, like Pat, like you said, that defensive line is very good. And, you know, Baker, it all really depends on Baker. And, you know, if he falters and they have a bad Sunday, Dwayne Haskins will do just enough. That defensive line will do just enough. And I'll take the Browns to win, but I do like the football team to cover.
Mark, do you remember what the spread was in the Browns Bengals game? Was it like 6.5?
We took that. It's 6.5, and it was like a 3-point game.
You think the Bengals are better than Washington, or you think Washington's better? I'm just curious.
Do I think the Bengals are better than Washington? Yeah. Oh yeah. I think the Bengals are going to win this week against the Eagles. I think the Bengals are going to win. I think they are better, but I am a big fan of Dwayne Haskins. I do think that he's. I do think Dwayne Haskins is decent. And, you know, him and Terry McLaurin, Ohio State buddies, I love it.
That's fair. I've just never been big on Dwayne Haskins, so that's my take.
I'm huge on the Bengals over the Eagles, honestly.
Let's go Haskins. I mean, Noah, what's your opinion on Haskins?
Haskins, I mean, that's your guy right there. If there's anybody that Mark's an advocate for and that he bandwagons, it's Dwayne Haskins. He looks a lot better. It looks like Ron Rivera looks to be the Dwayne Haskins whisperer. He doesn't have a lot of weapons around him in either. Their run game, it's by committee, and the only real stud weapon he has as a pass catcher is Terry McLaurin. So, but I think defense really helps Washington out. They occupy other teams. They take a lot of the pressure off of Haskins. They're keeping the scores low so he can keep them in games and not have to do too much. But I don't know, man. I don't know if Washington and Haskins are going to be able to get it past the Browns, especially with the talent that they have on that team. But we'll transition here real quick to the Bengals. We were just talking about how good we think they are. I think that this might be the opportunity for Joe Burrow's first win. The Eagles look awful, and we know the woes that they've had on injuries. They just keep coming for them. They're getting zero breaks, and the Bengals were super close to beating the Browns last week. I think they're going to roll off of that momentum, and if anything, Joe Burrow took that as a huge positive, and the whole team did as well, because they played fine. They just lost a close game to a pretty decent football team. So this is another upset alert for me. I think I'm going to roll with the Bengals here. Mark, I'm going to turn it over to you because you were talking about Burrow earlier. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, like I said before, I'm rolling with the Bengals here. Love the Bengals in this matchup. Eagles, you know, it's kind of tough. It'll be closer than people think because the Eagles, if you start 0-3, your chances are pretty much, I mean, they're super slim them to make the playoffs. So they're going to be fighting for their lives. They're going to be going out there and balling. But, I mean, if Burrow's on and that team, you know, that defense can hold up a little bit, I think they'll be fine. I don't know if you guys saw who practiced for the Eagles today. Alshon Jeffrey. Watch him. Probably not going to play this week, but in the next couple of weeks, he could come back, help that offense out a lot. Graham, what do you think?
You know, I'm going to disagree. I think the Eagles, this could be a game for them where they get kind of a little bit more back on track.
Is this Graham picking the Eagles?
Yeah, if you know me, I hate the Eagles. It's terrible. I hate doing this right now, but it's terrible. This hurts my heart. But, yeah, I think they can pull out a win here. I mean, Bengals are letting up 398 yards per game. It's hard to win when you're doing that. But the only thing is Eagles offense can't score. You can't score, can't win. So, I mean, I think it could really go either way, but I think the Eagles pull out a victory.
True. Pat.
I'm taking the Bengals. I personally think Joe Burrow looked the part of the number one overall pick the past 2 weeks. And, you know, knock on wood, I mean, I need Joe Mixon to start turning it up for my fantasy team. So I am personally rooting for the Bengals in terms of fantasy and just because I don't like the Eagles at all because I'm a huge Giants fan. But I just think Joe Burrow has so many weapons, whether it be Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green, and even he looked great passing the sample as a backup tight end. I mean, the guy looks great. I mean, I really do think against a subpar secondary of the Eagles, I think the guy can have a day.
Yep. I like that too. I really do.
Got a lot of interesting games this week.
There are. Yeah, we got to speed this up a little bit. We got to speed this up a little bit. Yeah. We've been lagging behind, but
go ahead.
We'll speed this up here. We'll go to some key matchups, and then we'll briefly go back to other games that we'll missed, and we'll give them quick takes. But we'll go to some big ones. A big one that a lot of people wouldn't have probably slated as a good matchup before the season, but now it's looking real interesting. It's the Raiders versus the Pats. Derek Carr and that Raiders offense looks to be moving, especially a guy that's surprisingly coming out as a true top threat is Darren Waller. He had a solid season last year, but I did not think he would rebound and have as good of a season. And Josh Jacobs looks fantastic for them as well. And we know what Cam Newton's been doing. I can't make a decision here right now. Pat, I'm actually going to go to you first. You've been preaching about Cam Newton's success. What do you think? Do you think he edges out the Raiders and John Gruden here?
I'm sticking with the Pats. I mean, I think the Raiders defense almost plays into the fact that, like, I guess Cam Newton's skill sets, right? So Cam Newton can run, and at the same time, Cam Newton can pass, right? So their secondary did not look great to me, in my opinion, against the Saints. I just don't think Drew Brees looked great, right? I mean, I think they almost – who is that? Arnett, right? Is their rookie quarterback? They actually benched him at one point. So, I mean, the fact that they're benching a first-round pick, you know – I think Cam Newton and you combine, like I said, the creative mind of Belichick. Like, Belichick almost, you know, like trumps all. I mean, I think he will figure out how to beat the Raiders. I think, yeah, the Raiders are great. I just don't think that you know, they can one up the Pats. I don't think I kind of was down on the Pats at the beginning of the year after they got got rid of Tom Brady. But you know, now that I'm more, I look at it, I do like them.
Nice.
Mark, we'll switch it up. Not have you go last this time. Don't want you to feel, have your feelings hurt and have you feel left out. So who do you like here? Gruden or do you like Belichick?
Oh, let's go with the Pats. I mean, in my opinion, Raiders look good, but imagine how excited and like how much they probably, I mean, you can't really party, but how good it felt to knock off the Saints. I think they're going to have a hangover this week. I think they're going to think that they're better than they actually are. And I think the Pats are just, you know, Pats are hungry. Cam Newton's hungry. He wants to prove everyone wrong. Pats are coming off a loss. So I'd actually love, I'm going to look into that real quick. Patriots stats coming out off a loss, Bill Belichick. I mean, that can't be good news for the Raiders. So I'm going to go with the Patriots here.
Graham, last one.
I hate to stick with both of them, but I'm also going with the Pats. I think it's going to be a really close game. The Raiders are putting up points, and they haven't done that in a long time. But knowing the Patriots, Bill Belichick always seems to know how to outcoach teams. I mean, I personally think they should have won against the Seahawks. They should have scored on that goal line play. I mean, but that's the way it goes. But I don't know. I think their defense can hold up. They're not letting up too many points per game. They're letting up 23. I mean, I think Cam Newton takes over. I think the Patriots take this one.
Yeah, I hate to go with the Pats as well, but I'd have to agree with all you guys. I'm a huge John Gruden fan. I think the dude's just an energetic coach, and he's honestly just hilarious to listen to in interviews. But look, this is Derek Carr and John Gruden. Is that Coach QB combo better than Cam Newton and Bill Belichick? Nobody's better than Belichick. And right now, Cam Newton's slinging the rock just as well as anybody, coming off of a near 400-yard passing day against the Seahawks. So the Raiders' defense is a little tougher challenge for the Patriots this week. But on the flip side, the Pats' defense is much better than New Orleans. So it's going to be a close one. But I'm also going to stick with the Pats. We'll roll on to one that hits close to home for Mark and I. Don't want to be too much of a homer, but this game is slated to be a pretty good matchup, I think. Underrated. Texans and Steelers. Mark, I'll go to you first. We betting on our Steelers to keep it rolling and keep undefeated, or are you going to let Deshaun Watson cook?
You know what? Like I said earlier in the show, Pittsburgh Steelers defense is really what it's going to come down to. Ben might have a 2-touchdown game, but I don't see it being that high scoring for Ben. But I think the defense is going to keep him in this, and I think they're going to get to Deshaun Watson. They might have – I mean, I'd love to see what the over-under is on the amount of sacks they're going to have, but I would say definitely over 2.5. They're going to have a field day against that offensive line, so I'm going to go Pittsburgh.
Graham, what do you think? You gonna roast Mark Steelers here, or are you gonna stick with him?
I mean, I always like to get the good opportunity to roast Mark, but I have to agree with him on this one. Steelers defense is very good. They're letting up 18.5 points a game. Texans can't seem to get the ball rolling yet. Losing D-Hop, that definitely hurt. It doesn't seem like their receivers, tight ends, can't get open too much. I mean, it seems like they're having some trouble. I got to go Steelers on this one. I think they get to the quarterback, get to Deshaun Watson.
I agree. I'm going to roll with the Steelers as well, but I won't take up too much time giving a prediction. Pat, we'll go to you last. Want to give your little blurb. Who do you think, Texans or Steelers?
I'm going with the Steelers. I mean, I think Texans just have it on their offense, their receivers, too many injuries, Brandon Cooks being injured and coming back from that, and then Will Fuller, you know, just not playing as a result of a hamstring injury, and hamstring injuries tend to linger. So that's where I'll leave it at that, and I just think the Steelers.
Yeah, I agree. Running out of time here, so we'll go with two more, and we're going to go to the primetime matchup. So we got the Sunday night and the Monday night game. Both are fantastic this week. We'll start with the Sunday night game. You got Rodgers versus Breeze. Breeze, I mean, it's not looking as good. Can this be a bounce-back game? I mean, it's going to be an interesting matchup to see who's going to pull it out. I'm going to go with the Packers. I'm a huge believer in Aaron Rodgers. I think there's a fire that was lit under his ass by them getting Jordan Love in the draft. And Aaron Jones looks fantastic. He's a man on a mission. And Devontae Adams, if he's healthy and ready to go, Aaron Rodgers is going to have a ton of success passing the ball. It's going to be interesting to see if Drew Brees can rebound. But Mark, let's go down the line here. What do you think? You got discount double check, or you got Drew Brees?
I mean, I got the guy from State Farm. I got to go with Aaron Rodgers here.
State Farm.
Come on. I can't believe the Packers are even the underdogs in this game. Why does nobody believe in the Packers? I won't get it. Before the season, when we looked at the odds for the Packers to win, the Vikings were the favorite, and look where that's gotten us. By the way, I have not mentioned this week that the Vikings suck this season, and it just feels so good that they suck. But, I mean, look at the Packers here. How are they the underdog? They're beating teams like crazy. Granted, their defense is not that good, but they put up points against the Vikings. They dogged the Lions last week. So, you know what? I like the Packers this week. I can't believe they're underdogs, so I'm definitely I would take them straight up money line, or take the points, whatever they give you.
Pat, come back to you. Who do you got? You got the Packers, you got the Saints.
If Devontae Adams plays, I'm taking the Packers. I just think he provides too much of an offensive threat.
There we go. Graham, coming to you.
I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm going to take the Saints. I think they dial it back in after last week's loss. I know that definitely hurt them. I think it lights a spark under them, gets them going a little bit more here.
Damn.
I like you going against the grain there. It's too boring to have everyone picking the same team, but I'm sure this last matchup is going to provide some controversy that we need. Chiefs-Ravens Monday night. This game, to me, is one of the best games that we saw last year when these two played, and it's going to be one of the best games this year. Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, arguably two of the top quarterbacks in the league. If you want to put them 1-2, whatever order you want, you could argue it either way. These offenses both have different styles. Ravens obviously run first. They can ground pound. They're going to grind it out. Chiefs air raid, absolutely stud weapons on the outside for Pat Mahomes to throw to, and Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins. I mean, they have some absolute speed demons out there. This one for me, I've stuck with the Ravens all offseason. I'm going to roll with them here at home. That Chiefs defense is looking a little weak, and this Ravens defense has proven to be a very solid group. So I feel like, of course, it's going to be close, but I'm going to roll with the Ravens here. Mark, we'll go to you first again. Who do you think? You going to take the Chiefs or take the Ravens here?
I'm going to go with the best quarterback in the league, Patrick Mahomes here. Come on. The Ravens, here's how the game's going to go. You don't even need to watch it because I'm going to tell you. The Ravens are going to go up by 10 points, maybe two touchdowns. And then the Chiefs are going to do what they always do, and they're going to come from behind and they're going to win. The first two games that they played this year, they were playing from behind. If everyone remembers the playoff games from last year, they played from behind. I think the Ravens are going to go up early, but I think the Chiefs are going to come back at the end and they're going to win. The problem is that I think that they might go down. They need to get a lead. They're going to go on a run, because if you force Lamar Jackson to throw it, I mean, he hasn't really had to throw it this season too much because they're up. And he has had some nice passes, but I think if you force Patrick Mahomes to have to throw the ball, you know, you get out a lead. I think that that's how the Chiefs are going to win this weekend.
We'll go to Pat here, and we'll end with Graham. So, Pat, who do you got?
If I learned anything, you don't bet against Pat Mahomes. That man, he is a dangerous man, and I think he's going to pull off the win against the Ravens, honestly.
Graham, end us real strong here, man. And you should side with me, because Mark took the Chiefs, but
and that's exactly what I'm gonna do, Pat.
There we go. Let's go.
I'm betting against Mahomes. I don't think he looks the same as he does last year. I mean, they went down to the Chargers pretty quickly. I mean, Chargers team, I don't think they're that great. I think their offense is solid, I think, but their defense, I mean, they're good. They're good, don't get me wrong. But if you're gonna say he's the best quarterback in football, and then you go down and go to overtime with a backup rookie quarterback on the Chargers, I'm taking the Ravens here. I think their defense is good, offense is good. I think they take down Pat Mahomes.
Real.
See,
quick.
I love it. I knew I liked you as soon as you joined the show, Mark. Obviously, I'm going up against you once again. So it's Noah and Graham versus Pat and Mark. We'll see who wins this matchup. Maybe we'll pull it out on Twitter. See what team, what duo is better.
We're going to get a little
poll going or something.
Yes, we're going to look. I think another interesting game this season. Real quick, I think Herbert's going to get his first win. I mean, they're playing the Panthers. Panthers terrible defense.
That dude looked good, man.
He did. He looked
Herbert
very good.
The bar.
Start Keenan Allen.
Dangerous. They also have a dangerous run defense or run offense. So I mean, and you couple it with a crappy run defense for the Panthers. I think you would start both Austin Eckler and Joshua Kelly. Joshua Kelly going very high on because he's getting the goal line work.
Dude, you love him. You love Joshua Kelly.
Buy into him, man.
A good betting game this week. Look at the Rams. They're the underdogs against the Bills. I think the Rams are going to win that game. I think they're way more talented. Like we go back to before. I don't want to get Noah riled up about Josh Allen, but like Josh Allen sucks. Josh Allen is not good. And against the Rams defense like that, Jalen Ramsey or someone in that defense is definitely going to have a pick this weekend.
Interesting stat. Josh Allen is leading the league right now in deep ball throws accuracy.
He was also no way.
Pretty sure that's what I saw.
Because he was dead last last year.
Dead last in the league.
I'm pretty sure right now he's top in the league.
Well, Diggs is also the leader in yards right now. He leads the league. So,
honestly, think about this one. You have Stephon Diggs going against Jalen Ramsey. So, you know Jalen Ramsey is going to get cooked at least one play.
Oh, come on. Come on,
dude! If Josh Allen can dude, step yeah, but Stephon Diggs, come on, dude, he's a deep threat.
He is. I'll give you that. But I mean, these games this weekend, they'll be really good. I think what we have to do, we have to mention the NHL playoffs happening right now. I mean, Tampa Bay Lightning. Excuse me, I'm still on football. Tampa Bay Lightning and Dallas Stars head to head. Lightning took a lead last night, went up 2-1, demolished the Stars in game 3. Noah, you still like the Lightning here?
Like them? Dude, I love them. And I knew I was right about this pick as soon as the Cup Final matchup was taking place. Look, you're going with the Stars. You're jinxing them with your bad juju. Your Isle is already lost to this Tampa Bay team. Look, I'm going to roll with the Lightning here, especially now that they have Stamkos back. He scored in his first game back as well in the first period, so didn't take too long to get that bad man going. It's good to have their captain back in Tampa Bay. I'm going to stick with him. Hudobin looks a little shaky right now. I don't know if he has much of an answer for the Lightning, and if Vasilevsky can continue to play relatively solid, I feel like the Lightning are going to pull it out here. I'm going to go with them in 6.
I got to stick with the Stars here, man. Even though they definitely do not look like the better team at all, I'm still going to stick with them. They're, I mean, they could turn it up at any point, but the Lightning, just think about the story that's gonna happen after getting swept in the first round last year. Coming back this year to the bubble without your best player, and then your best player returns for the Stanley Cup Finals, and he scores a goal in his first game back. Like, the story is writing itself for the Lightning to win here. But, I mean, I'm still going to stick with the Stars. I can't. I mean, I can't go back on it now. I still think the Stars could – they might find a way. It'll be miraculous. I mean, it's only 2-1 right now, so I think game 4 will really be – it'll either be a nail in the coffin for the Stars or it'll give them some life.
There we go. Graham, Pat, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I haven't been able to watch a lot of the Stanley Cup lately, but from what I have seen, I think the Lightning look pretty good. And like Mark said, it's kind of been writing himself to win. I'm gonna take the Lightning.
I'm taking Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all alone. But if I wasn't so invested in this pick, I would pick the Lightning. But I do think the Stars could maybe pull it out.
Mark, did you make a mistake? Is that what I hear, though? You made a mistake?
No, never. I don't make mistakes. Come on, let's be real. Let's transition real quick because we're running way over NBA playoffs. No, I really don't want to talk about this because you're very...
Oh, I would love to talk about it. What are we talking about?
So we're talking about the West and the Clippers and the Nuggets. I mean, excuse me. Yeah, Clippers and Nuggets. Nuggets beat the Clippers. Unbelievable. It's amazing. I think it happened right after our show ended last week that it happened, but that's amazing. So now the Nuggets are playing the Lakers. No, I'm taking the Lakers here. I mean, they're playing tonight, but I think the Lakers are going to win. Lakers are up 60-55 at halftime. So I like the Lakers to win this series.
Yeah, tough to have LeBron James with a lead on you, especially after the first half. So this Nuggets team, I mean, dude, they're good. I'm not gonna throw shade at them at all. Jamal Murray is looking fantastic. Jokic looking fine as well as always. And then Michael Porter Jr. is a real surprise for them. There's a nice third piece there. But yeah, I'm going to take the Lakers in this series. The Nuggets are going to fight super hard, but it's tough for them. They've been grinding it out. They've gone to 7 games in the last 2 series they've played in. So they're going to be tired come towards the end of this series. I'm taking the Lakers.
And let's move over to the East, where my Celtics are in an extremely large hole.
Heat in 5.
No. Celtics in 7.
Stop.
Yes, it's going to happen.
You're dreaming.
Jason Tatum is going to take over. I don't even know. Tyler Hero who? It's Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker.
It's walking bucket to you. That's all I got to say is he's a bucket. So no. I'm going to take control here because I called this weeks ago, and I'm going to remind our listeners of the bet that we have. Mark was throwing it in my face that the Celtics were the much better team than the Heat. And I said, are you serious? The Heat are the hottest team, not because they're the Heat, but they're actually playing the hottest in the league right now, hottest in the bubble. I love the group that they have, led by Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo. I'll absolutely take them over the Celtics. Mark says, here's a bet. Whichever team wins, the other person has to buy a jersey for him. I have the Heat, so I would get a Heat jersey. Mark's got the Celtics, he'd get a Celtics jersey. I got a couple of words, Mark. I'm a medium and Tyler Hero. So I don't know how much that's going to cost you, but you're a working man, so you'll be able to provide.
No, because the Celtics in 7. I'm sticking with it, even though the doors only open at 10.
There's no sense in even arguing.
Celtics.
You might as well go to Fanatics and get that discount code while you can.
Celtics in 7. Next week, we'll be sitting down here, and we're going to be talking about how the Lakers and Celtics, it's going to be a great great championship. So,
delusional as always.
I'm excited. But that's all the time that we have for this week. We ran over. But, I mean, it's been amazing. Graham and Pat, thanks for coming on, guys. It's been really fun. We hope to have you guys again.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having us.
Been a pleasure. And Noah, as always, a pleasure. And you know what? Just remember, Celtics in 7.
Yeah, dude, I'll be expecting that package from Fanatics at my door in about a week or so. So whenever you get a chance, just put that in your shopping cart and hit the button. But it's always a pleasure, dude. Love to talk next week. We'll see you then.